Welcome to Inside the Newsroom, the Sentinel Records weekly podcast from the Razorback Campers Health Studio that takes a closer look at news and sports in Garland County. The Big Steam Music Festival will be held in Hill Wheatley Plaza this weekend, with Bernard Allison and Anthony Gomes as the headlining artists for the event. Gomes will be the headlining act tomorrow. His latest album, High Voltage Blues, is also set to release tomorrow and consists of a compilation of songs from his entire career. With us to talk about his return to the Spa City and his music is Anthony Gomes. So to start off with, you know, how did you get into playing guitar, playing the blues, you know, rock and roll, all that stuff?
Well, I blame my dad. I was a nerd. So I loved academics and I was doing really well in school and I was doing well in sports. I played hockey and tennis. And my dad bought me a guitar for my 14th birthday just to round me out as a Renaissance man, if you will. You know, he was old school and, you know, you should know the arts and you should have a sport and all this stuff. Well, that became his worst nightmare because I just fell in love with the guitar. I love everything about music and I always had, but for whatever reason, I just didn't have an outlet or an instrument at home. And my love for it wasn't to become a rock star or to be a professional. In my own crazy mind, I thought at 14 that it was too late, you know, because my friends could play Stairway to Heaven and Eruption. So, I mean, you know, how could I compete with that? I was doing Kumbaya, you know. So, you know, one thing led to another. And, you know, you put a little band together and then you play at high school band night. And people dig it. And, you know, lo and behold, here we are today, you know. So it's been a very cool journey.
Yeah. So what drew you to the blues sound? Because I know, you know, your first couple of albums were pretty, you know, solid blues and you've kind of branched into more of a, you know, blues slash rock type feel now, but
right.
What kind of drew you to that bluesy sound to begin with?
I love the blues. I love the blues more than any style of music. It really hits me right to my soul. And I've always loved the blues even before I knew it because the rock and roll I was listening to was just, it was derived from blues. So I was like, wow, I really like that era, you know, Eric Clapton. I really like, you know, Jimi Hendrix. I really like Led Zeppelin. And the next thing you know, it's like, oh, I'm going to buy a B.B. King album. And boom, you know, instantly converted. I, you know, as far as leaning more towards the rock end of the spectrum, I feel like all music is more rocked out today. Country music is way more rocked out. I went to the symphony and they were playing songs of David Bowie. You know, it's like, you know, things are faster. People's attention spans are a lot more limited today. So in order to get, you know, a new generation into blues and to keep it exciting, you kind of need a little bit of the fireworks. But we're hoping that there's enough of the real stuff mixed in there that they get the secret messages, you know.
Right. You know, you mentioned the fact, you know, that you grew up listening to a lot of these guys that were, you know, rockers, but their music was clearly blues inspired, like Clapton and all. You know, who are some of the other musicians that you really respect and have looked up to over the years, either past musicians or even current ones?
Well, you know, I consider myself a guitarist and a vocalist and then a lover of music and all musicians. You know, as far as guitar goes, on the blues side, I love people like B.B. King, Albert King, Freddie King, Otis Rush, Albert Collins, you know, Jeff Healey, Stevie Ray Vaughan. You know, those were the guys that you know, really spoke to me as you know, and then, of course, you have Robert Johnson or somebody that's not a guitar virtuoso, say like Taj Mahal, you know. And then on the rock side, you know, I love Ritchie Blackmore and Billy Gibbons and Eddie Van Halen and you know, Clapton, Jeff Beck, you know, the chairman of the board. And then, you know, vocalists, man, it's Ray Charles, Aretha Franklin, Donnie Hathaway, Stevie Wonder, B.B. King, Etta James, you know, Paul Rodgers, my favorite of all time, Otis Redding, Wilson Pickett, Rod Stewart before the spandex, Steven Tyler, Ronnie James Dio, I even love Elton John, you know, anything that I hear's music has a lot of spiritual side to it, you know, there's a gospel influence, spiritual thing, and to me that's even tied in with the blues. So if it's got soul, sign me up, I'm into it.
Yeah. So have you gotten to a chance to play with, you know, any other, you know, famous musicians? And if so, who were some of your favorite ones to be able to sit down and play with?
Well, one, without a doubt, the top is B.B. King. In many ways, my single greatest inspiration is B.B. King. When I was in my 20s, I was in college, and I was writing my master's thesis on the racial evolution of blues music, because I probably wanted to figure out how a white guy from Canada could be into the blues, you know. And I joke, I'm like, if you play the blues and you're from Canada, it's like being white twice, you know. So I wanted to know, like, how do I fit in? And at the end of the day, I realized that blues was a very inclusive music. Came from a horrible place of prejudice and segregation. But the triumph of the music was to include everybody and to find the humanity. And one of the greatest ambassadors was B.B. King. So not only was I a hero of him on his recordings, but I was a hero of what he did for the blues as a whole and race relations, what have you. And so anyway, I'm doing this little jam night at this hole in the wall dump in Toronto, you know. And if you play really well, they give you a free beer. So when you're in college, a free beer is like the equivalent of $1 million.
Right.
So I was hot that night, man. I was hot. So anyway, I got two free beers. And this guy came up to me and he said, "Who's your favorite guitar player?" I said, "B.B. King." And he said, "I thought so. I'm his bus driver. And I want to introduce you to him." And lo and behold, he was. I thought he might be lying. And he had the privilege of touring with B.B. several times in our career. He was always a wonderful, wonderful mentor to me and countless others. So to play with him, share the stage with him, that's the beginning and end, really.
Do you feel like, you know, the blues is kind of a art form that is, I don't want to say looked down upon, but it's kind of overlooked nowadays, you know, with the, you know, amount of everything that is kind of rock inspired, you know, do you kind of feel like the blues get lost a lot of times by the younger listeners?
Well, I think the people publicizing the blues are doing, in my opinion, not a disservice to the music. And when you speak about young people, it's like they give you the eat your vegetables speech. Now, Sally and Johnny, you have to listen to the blues, because without them, there would be no Beyonce. And, you know, because, you know, Buddy Guy influenced Jimi Hendrix, and Jimi Hendrix influenced Prince, and Prince influenced Beyonce. Oh, you lost them.
Right.
You should just say, kids, don't listen to this music. It's the devil's music. It will corrupt you, and you'll go straight to hell if you listen to this. Man, it'd be number one all over. So I think there's some danger to the blues that people are missing, and some excitement, and it's sold as a old, stuffy, dusty encyclopedia. So I think that there needs to be some excitement in the marketing of the blues. Now, if you've seen a blues performance, you're very moved by it. It's very exciting, but it's just, yeah, it just gets lumped in this, you know, grandpa's boring old music. So I believe the blues is not a new form, but it can be fresh and exciting.
With, you know, obviously 2020, the pandemic shut everything down. you know, what did you do to kind of get yourself through that period until you could really start going out and doing stuff again?
Thankfully for us, we have an incredible fan base. So we did what almost nobody did. We put out a record in 2020 in the fall. And, you know, usually you have to tour to support an album and sell the album, but our online sales were good enough that it kept the lights on. And our fans were there, they're buying merch, they're, you know, being supportive, sharing our music. And, you know, it's very interesting. When you do things for the right reasons, a lot of times it comes back in a positive way for you, but that's not the motivation. You know, during the pandemic, I thought, man, this sucks for everybody. People are depressed. We don't know what's happening. A lot of my friends were down and out. You know, we were struggling. There was a lot of oatmeal and ramen noodles, you know. So we did an album going, you know, we don't know if this is going to sell because we can't be out there promoting this, but let's just do it. And we made it funny, a couple of funny songs, lighthearted, trying just to get through it. And nobody released an album. It was like an open highway because everybody was saving their records for 2021. So we got a lot of attention. Our career really grew because of that. And we turned on a lot of new fans who bought some products. So we were very, very fortunate. You know, yeah, it was tough. But we made it. We made it alive. And now we know we could survive on oatmeal and ramen noodles. So it's like caviar is great.
Right.
Inside the Newsroom is sponsored by Reiser Ford and Lincoln. On the hunt for a new truck or car, stop by 4201 Central Avenue in Hot Springs today or call 501-525-0800 today for all your truck and car needs.
You know, I know the name of that 2020 album was Containment Blues. Did that kind of come from the idea of everybody being locked up due to the outbreak?
Yeah, you know, and I feel bad for my girlfriend's mother because I always write songs about mother-in-laws and they always are the villain. So story, it's about, you know, you're at home and your mother-in-law's visiting and she can't get a flight back home. So she's stuck with you, you know, and she's using all the toilet paper and whatever, you know, just real life things that there's a time when you just need to laugh. And 2020 was a heated year as far as a lot of toxic energy on social media and division. And, you know, if we can all laugh together, you know, everybody can relate to everyday life and the dumb, crazy, funny stuff that happens. So, yeah, it was, you know, it was, the blues is a healing music, you know. Some people think that it's complaining or no, the blues is healing. You know, we've all got the blues. We've all gone through these problems. So sometimes a little humor, you got to laugh or else you cry sort of thing. And we all had a good chuckle in 2020 with a couple songs off Containment Blues.
Yeah. You know, what was it like getting started touring again? Because I know, you know, Canada had a lot more restrictions, didn't open up quite as quickly as a lot of other places did. So how did you get through that period, that process?
Well, here's the funny thing. You know, when we were in the middle of COVID, I thought that some great speaker, either from an organization, a physician, a political leader, a nonpartisan leader, would come on a microphone, right? And they go, test, COVID is over. And then everybody would come running out of the caves, within the masks, the tequila would be out, the whiskey would be out, and it'd just be a big party. Well, that's not happened. Nobody said anything. And so what I've noticed in touring is that all the people that are the cave dwellers are slowly coming out. But there hasn't been the big speech, you know?
Right.
So our shows in the last year, let's say, have slowly, well, even 6 months, you know, people are coming out, but we weren't having the full attendance that we used to have. And now ticket sales this fall are more in line to 2019 numbers. And people are finally going, I'm going to come out. So it's just been an adjustment because if only 50 or 80% of the people are coming out, you're only making 50 or 80% of the revenue. And although we're grateful to make money, touring is not inexpensive. So usually your expenses are 50 to 80%. Right. So it's like, well, great, we've been making no money for 2 years and now we're going out and breaking even. And how much is gas a gallon now?
Right.
So, you know, anybody who's a professional musician in 2022 really loves their craft, you know, because there's just a dedication to it, you know, I mean, despite the odds. So there you go. But yeah, we're coming back out. The people are coming back out. It's been a challenge, but things are loosening. You used to need COVID tests to cross in and out, and those things are loosened between Canada and the US. So that's nice.
Yeah. So I know that you're coming down here. You're stopping by in Little Rock the next night. How often do you come down to Arkansas or the South in general?
We at least twice a year. And we love Hot Springs. We played there a number of times. We've done a festival there before. It's a real cool spot, man. I love a little downtown area, and it's got a lot of vibe and good electricity. Hot Springs has a great electricity. And also, I think Arkansas is overlooked as a really happening state. We're just stoked to get down there. And hopefully the triple digit temperatures will be back down to the doubles.
So, you know, what would you say has been the most difficult part of getting to where you are today? I mean, obviously, you know, kind of looking past COVID, because everybody had to struggle through that. I mean, but to get to where you are today, what would you say has been the most difficult part of getting to this point?
Whatever the word no, hearing the word no, and then being able to say the word no. And I'll elaborate a little bit. I remember the first call I made was to the president of the Toronto Blues Society. And I said, hey, I want your advice, sir. I want to be a professional blues musician. I can sleep on friends' couches. All I need to survive is about $250 a week to start. How do I go about doing that? And he said, oh, no. You can't be a professional blues musician. You just play the music for the love. And I hung up the phone and I went, no, he's wrong. So every step of the way, you know, hey, I want to put out my first CD. Oh, no, who's going to buy your CD? I remember some article came out with our first album and it was like, Gomes fans will love his debut album. And somebody wrote, Anthony Gomes has fans? And I'm like, yes, my mother, she loves all our music. But anyway, so just the whole, you know, even now, you know, our ticket prices have gone up, our guarantee. Oh, well, you can't charge $20 a ticket. It's a blues show. They should be $12. No. You know, gas is $5 a gallon, you know, for diesel. So whatever. You just have to say no to the no that you're given, you know. So I guess revert to your terrible twos to survive the music business. But yeah, I just think that that's really it, is the toughest thing is that nobody likes change and nobody expects you to grow. They always look at you at the place when they first met you, you know. So if they met you in high school, they're, oh, that's just Anthony from high school. I remember him. Oh yeah, bad, you know, bad haircut and the unibrow. But he's playing blues. Oh God, he's from Canada. You know? So it's just dealing with that. But loving music and having the conviction and the love of people who support you, whether it's five or 5,000, that gets you through all that stuff.
And finally, tell me a little bit about your band. I know it's not a one-man show, so tell me a little bit about who you got playing behind you.
Oh, well, thank you for that question. I have not only two great musicians in the band, but two wonderful human beings, great guys. Jacob Mreen, M-R-E-E-N, is his last name, on the bass, and Chris Whited on the drums. Man, they're ninjas on their instrument. They're killer players. They bring a lot of energy and fire and professionalism. You know, they have both guys, I mean, if we don't play a 10 out of 10 show, they're miserable. You know, if we give the crowd a 9.5, we tried for a 10. We missed a couple of things. Oh man, come to the next show. Cause they just have this conviction and this desire to give back to the fans. Because everybody's putting their hard earned money to see a show. They also do solo features in the show, and they're great, great instrumentalists, great ensemble players, and just really cool guys. I'm very, very fortunate to be playing with such wonderful musicians.
Well, and to have musicians like that, that care so much about it, it makes for a more exciting show because, you know, they're into it, you're into it, the crowd gets into it. You know, it's easy for that excitement to grow and spread among everybody there.
And people can tell when you generally get along with your bandmates. I've had guys in the past that I wanted to leave at the gas station in Nebraska somewhere because they were not only me, everybody else. They're like, please, can we leave him? We really don't need keyboards. Can we leave the guy? And people can sense that. Sometimes that energy rubs in a good way. But more than that, if you want to have fun and you see guys are having fun on stage, or I say guys, but, musicians are having fun on stage, people can tell, man, and they can tell that it's legitimate. And yeah, so people, they'll tell that we like each other's company, we love to make music together, and we love to make music for the people.
And tell me a little bit about the creative process for you. I mean, is it pretty much you doing all the writing? Do the other two guys kind of help out with some of that, you know?
Yeah, I do the writing, and occasionally I write with some really wonderful writers. I've had the opportunity to write with Jim Peterick, who's written Eye of the Tiger and Hold On Loosely and Vehicle, and then guys like Billy Falcon, who's written for Bon Jovi and countless others. So it's always fun to do a co-write. The artistic vision of the project comes from me, but in order to take that vision and then bring it out to everybody, well, the guys are a huge part in doing that. So, I'm very grateful again that they're here and doing what they do so well.
All right. Sounds good. Well, I appreciate you taking some time to talk to me.
Hey, I appreciate your time, James. Thank you so much, man. And right on. Thanks so much for your time again.
Thanks. Brother. Take care.
This has been an episode of Inside the Newsroom from the Razorback Camper Sales Studio. New episodes are released every Thursday. Thank you for listening.